You're listening to Drawn to Comics, the podcast about a couple of guys that are just drawn to comics. My name is Russ.
My name's Ken.
We have a special guest with us today, and his name is...
My name is Sean Sauter. Woo-hoo!
Sean Sauter's sitting with us at the Toy Attic in Drawn to Comics in downtown Glendale. Drawn to Comics is a family-owned and operated business in downtown Glendale. It's a comic book shop that opened in 2005, and they've expanded to the point now where there is a Toy Attic... Yes. That exhibits some of the best toys on the market right now from Star Wars, Star Trek, G.I. Joe, DC, Marvel, He-Man, Transformers.
Hot Wheels.
Even. Hot Wheels. You even got sports action figures.
Sports picks. 1990s figure section we just put up there, too, as well.
So I could theoretically play the Cardinals winning the Super Bowl, finally, with these action figures. I could play that happening.
It's a little two-on-two.
I could have Kang the Conqueror go back in time, have the Cardinals win the Super Bowl. I could do that with all of the action figures.
Oh, my world, they're 12-time defending champions. Just pure speculation. And then, like, Kane's a great linebacker, too. He can sack, like, you know, any opposing quarterback. When he misses, he goes back in time and does it right.
I'm just looking at this is where I can assemble my fantasy league. Right, I got Voltron, yes. I got Goku, I see Zodak from He-Man, and Computron. That's my team. That's my starting lineup.
Dude, we should do like a fantasy, more or less pop culture football team and match it up against the Patriots or the Eagles.
I would call it a Final Fantasy League.
Yeah, Final Fantasy League, exactly. And then see, like, performance-wise, like, through the comics during the year, like, which ones have the most appearances.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That. So that would be kind of a fun little thing,
that's
too.
That's cool. Of course, Deadpool's the MVP, but
yes,
Deadpool
and Harley Quinn. Be a top value draft picks there. Oh, yeah. I do. Spider-Man would be a number three. Ranking. Dang it, how did Deadpool pass me up in the draft order?
So, in addition to the Toy Attic, Drawn to Comics offers a lot of cool programming, and that's one of the reasons Sean's here. We're going to talk about a drawing class he's offering this summer for kids, which is really cool, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm super excited for it. Yeah, we're trying to put together this this kids art class. What it is to get the kids off of devices. My kids are always trying to get on devices. I think there's sometimes addiction to these devices,
like iPads, phones, video game systems.
Video games, yeah. And it's just a chance to get the kids off of devices. Have the parents bring them down to Drawn to Comics and to downtown Glendale, and you know, bond together creatively.
Sure.
You know, and that's what I want to try to do, is create some type of art class where the kids can just come here, have fun, have a blast, and I want to pump them up. I want to empower them. I want to, the whole goal is to inspire, educate, and engage the curious minds, not just through creativity, but through art. And then also to sprinkle in these good morals, like, you know, come on, the golden rule: treat others the way that you want to be treated. You know, if we all started to do that, especially the kids, if the kids start doing that, more and more catch on, we're going to have a better world.
Sure. Well, this is cool. So it's not just a drawing class. This is a drawing class with purpose.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
That's very cool.
I mean, the whole thing is this: I went for 35 years of my life having no ambition, no direction. I didn't know where I was going to go, and it started to become a dark place for me. Mm. It started to be, you know, sad and depressing and just, you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
And I finally, I've been doing these art shows, comic cons and whatnot, selling my art. I really enjoy drawing. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed doing these shows, when people look at my art, they smile.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh my gosh. I enjoy doing this stuff. I smile when I do it. And when people come by and they look at it, they just glow and they light up. And I realize, keep the things that brighten you up around you.
Nice.
It's infectious.
Yes. And the whole, back to the whole thing of having no direction, I don't want kids to experience what I experience. Mm. I want them to believe in themselves. I want them to dream big and never to give up. Because I don't want them to be in the same boat that I was in, working at a job that, you know, I am just not enthused about. Sure. In fact, the job was just slowly just killing me.
Yeah.
And now I have a new direction, and it's to try to bring about change. Now, Is it going to be a big explosion of good, wonderful change? I don't know. If it's a small one, it's going to be successful.
All right, Sean. So when is this art class taking place? It's obviously here at Drawn to Comics, so folks have to be in the Phoenix area to take advantage. But when is it? How much is it?
So it's going to be a four-week course running on Saturdays, starting June the 30th. It ends on Saturday, June the 21st. It's an hour long, and it's for ages 7 and 11. The cost per child is $40 per course. And I mean,
so that's 10 a week.
That's only $10 a class. You know, it's very, very reasonable, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and with every class that I do, well, not just with every class that I do. Once it all ends, the kids are going to walk away with a certificate of completion.
Very cool.
So they're going to accomplish something. And not just that, after every class, I'm going to be giving away a Shawnee Poo bag.
Oh, nice. A Shawnee Poo bag.
Have you heard of a Shawnee Poo bag?
I've heard of the old Ladmo bag. Oh. Is it similar to the old Ladmo bags?
Oh, yeah. You can say that. Pretty much what this all came from is from my webcomic, Shawnee Poo the webcomic. It's about a little boy that takes his dad's junk. It's not necessarily junk. It's his dad's iPad Pro. It's his dad's working toaster, an old school retro gaming console, and he builds his best friend, Fuji the Robot.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it's their adventures going through elementary school, having fun with the neighborhood friends, and then also playing pranks on Shawnee Poo's dad. And how I equate it, I mean, if you mashed Calvin and Hobbes, smushed it together with the Peanuts, Charlie Brown and the Peanuts, and if you sprinkled in a little bit of the Simpsons, you have Shawnee Poo.
Nice, okay.
And in one of the strips, pretty much, Shawnee Poo's going to forget his lunch money. And he's going to look at his little robot friend, "All right, Fuji, I forgot my lunch money. What do you got for me, man?" And Fuji doesn't talk. He's kind of like R2. So he beep, boop, boop, boop. And down comes his stomach, slides down, and out comes a robotic hand holding a Shawnee Poo bag. And when I do these little art classes with kids, I always explain that at the beginning of our session so they know what the webcomic is, what a Shawnee Poo bag is, and they always ask, "What is a Shawnee Poo bag?" "Oh, kids, you guys haven't heard of a Shawnee Poo bag? Oh, it's the best thing in the world. It's happier than a Happy Meal." Oh, and so I go through the whole art course. Even with our first class is going to be about characters, drawing characters. We're going to create a character in the first class. Second class is going to be about objects. I'm going to bring some objects in that we're going to draw because, I mean, everybody has something that they're holding, whether it's going to be a phone or an apple. Ooh, delicious apple. And
or an Apple phone. You put it together.
There you go. But at the end of each class, I'm going to end it off with, "Thank you so much for coming out." You know, again, I want to sprinkle in these good morals. I want to get the kids to believe to be nice and to be there for one another. And before I step out, "Thank you so much. Ah, I just got a text message. It's from Fuji the Robot. I've got to give out one of these Shawnee Poo bags." And hand out one of the Shawnee Poo bags to one lucky child. And then just to not let all the rest of the kids fill out, I'll have like a little small print to go with them.
Nice.
And yes.
So how many hours is each class?
It's an hour long.
Hour long.
From 12 to 1 p.m.
All the supplies provided.
Yes, yes. We're going to have art supplies that are going to be provided. And I want to give the pencils and ink pens and folders and whatnot to the kids at the end of the class.
Very cool. That's included in the cost. So there is some value. You're getting that sense of accomplishment with the certificate. You're getting the potential to win some prizes. You're getting some art supplies from a pro. So these are going to be, it's going to be some quality materials and stuff like that. And generally speaking, it's entertaining and education.
Exactly.
Yes. So, wow, this is awesome, man. This sounds cool.
It has to be a full package, man. I mean, Sean approached me about this. And I go, "Dude, how can we not do this?
Absolutely.
This is epic. It's a beautiful thing for the community of not just Glendale, but the whole Phoenix marketplace to get involved with if they're interested."
I mean, drawing classes pop up from time to time, but something that has an emotional core, a real purpose, that has this infused element of your characters and the fun of your strips, so it's kind of got that meta message too. It's really cool, man.
Yeah.
I like this.
This is what I want to do, and I want to get into the school system. I want to be able to do some motivational speeches to the kids to get them going, get them believing. And also, I mean, this art class, it's going to be here in Drone Comics, downtown Glendale. And that's another aspect. I want people to get out of their homes. All of us are just so stuck in this new age world of, oh, I'm just going to order it online. And we're just missing so much of these opportunities where we can connect with people.
Dude, there's no trees online. You know, I guess you can look at pictures of trees, but you can go stand out under trees when you get out of your house and go out there and go do stuff with your
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think we're raising kids to where they don't know how to communicate.
Mm.
They don't know how to talk to one another. And if they are, it's not good communication. It's a lot of anger and frustration.
It's a lot of acronyms.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the whole thing is let's get them out.
See ya.
But it's to get them out, get the parents down here, and then also encourage them, hey, while you're down here, go check out some of the shops in downtown Glendale.
Sure.
Go check out the barber over there.
Dude, the library right across the street, too, where we did free comic day.
The library.
The park, dude. There's people playing Pokemon in the park all times of day, it seems like at times. Every time there's a new Pokemon Go release, there's people in the park, whether it's 110 degrees or like 80 degrees.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's cool is this is an hour long.
They go out there and have fun.
Yeah. You're saying like a parent could drop their kids off here, go get lunch nearby, do a little shopping, come back in an hour. Now your kid can draw Spider-Man.
Yeah, they're getting rich. So they're not just like being like dropped off to hang out and like and fiddle their thumbs.
Right.
Like, they're going to be part of something that they can take with them and share with their friends
too.
How cool will that be?
And to be honest, I would actually encourage the parents to kind of stick around to get that more bonding.
Sure.
Bonding time, because I do believe this. I think as a parent with this new where we're at in time. They're both parents, it seems like the whole thing of we can live on one income, it's gone. Now you got both parents that are working. They're both overworked. They're tired. You got children that are going to school, coming home, and being on devices all day, and there's no connection. And that's what I want to bridge, to bring together.
Let's bring a new era of getting people to communicate with each other as a family basis, not just the fact like, okay, tired, exhausted, what are we going to do this weekend? Well, let's just sit home and watch movies.
Yeah,
cool. Let's go out and do something fun.
Yeah.
And together as a family still.
And it could be a good bonding experience. I mean, I don't think that with my art classes, I don't think it's just for kids. I think with these sprinkles of good morals and motivation, I think anybody can take it and implement it in their own life. I do believe that learning isn't just for children.
Sure.
Every day, we should be learning something. No matter how big or how small that it is, there's always something to learn. And even how old you are, whether you're an old dog, 80 years old, no, there's still something to gain.
Yes.
There's always something to gain. The life is ever-changing. It evolves. And you can't just sit there and expect the same outcome for your whole life. Do you know how many people out there that are... There's so much contention because I am set in my ways.
Right.
No, we need to be more open to change and understand that when, oh, I lost my job and it's for this reason, I'm going to just stick to it and blame it. No. Rise
the
above
learning
it.
Experience. What did you learn from that job? Why did you get relieved of that job?
Yeah,
sure.
You know what I mean? It's like that. What can you grow from that? Take things that you did get from that job that you made yourself a better person with and take that with you to the next thing, but then also learn, like, why was I let go?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and evaluate that rather than have the anger, as you say.
Exactly. And also, think of it as a growing opportunity. Maybe I'm not supposed to be where I am right now, and maybe this is the opportunity to make the new change, the new leap.
It opens new doors sometimes when things happen.
Exactly.
This speaks to a quote. I have a little daily calendar on my desk, and last weekend's quote was from a Jodi Picoult. It's a superhero-themed calendar.
That's cool.
And last year's quote was from a Jodi Picoult novel.
Okay.
And it says, superheroes were created by people that needed to be saved.
That's awesome.
And when you think about the story of the guys that created Superman, when you think about Stan Lee at the end of his rope working for Marty Goodman and, you know, getting assignment after assignment that he wasn't connected to or cared for, and you know, from that you get Fantastic Four. When you think about the Image guys,
yes,
frustrated,
yep,
feeling undervalued, Stone,
yeah,
yeah, and they knew they were the bread and butter for a company that wasn't paying them what they were due, or so they felt. They break off and create a new generation of superheroes. You know, Paul Dini creating Harley Quinn,
yes,
which has empowered a lot of women nowadays, for better or worse, but it gives them a sense of purpose and somebody they can look at that's a quirky, this is a quirky female character that's, you know, she broken out of a bad relationship, yeah, and now she's independent, has her own identity, she isn't just some Joker lackey. You know, these are characters created by folks who had their own things going on, and now it's paid forward in society. As folks like us that are fans, we consume this stuff, project our own needs, you know, into these guys, into these characters, and it fulfills us in turn. So that's kind of what you're talking about here. Is as you're drawing, it becomes, I don't want to say therapy because that sounds hokey, but it definitely becomes an outlet for the aggression that is otherwise expressed, say, on the playground,
mm-hmm,
or via text and cyberbullying, etc., or even as adults through the bitterness we might have toward a job we don't like. Or the frustration we have toward financial circumstances. When you are focusing that energy into something creative and ultimately positive, not only are you getting that burden off your own chest, but now you're giving other people something to relate to, and it perpetuates. It's the power of story and art and creativity. So yeah, man, this is really cool.
And the kids are the future. They're going to be the future president, the future leaders, the future doctors, the future police.
We got to lead them well. I was going to quote the song, but then I believe the children are the future. We got to teach, yes, them well, let them lead the way. That's what we got
to
do.
And I think this, I feel like there's a hole that needs to be filled. And what I'm trying to do is I'm taking two huge figures that really impacted my life, Dr. Seuss, LADMO. I'm nice. Mashing it together, and that's who I am.
Oh, I like that, man.
Let's do it.
That's so cool.
That's what I want to do.
That's very cool. I love that. You know, Alton Brown made that show Good Eats.
Okay.
And he's the host of, like, Iron Chef and Cutthroat Kitchen. And when you watch Good Eats, especially that show in the 90s, that was like an educational show about food. For some reason, it's really entertaining. And at the time, it's like a pre-Food Network show about the science of food.
Mm-hmm.
And he was producing commercials at the time, and he was getting frustrated with just the process of churning out these commercials for other people. And he's like, okay, I want to become my own personality on TV. And he wrote down three names on a piece of paper. He wrote down Mr. Wizard,
nice,
Julia Child, and Monty Python. And when you watch everything, yes, that he does, it is some sort of mashup of those three things. So when you just said that Dr. Seuss and LADMO, I was like, absolutely. And I think you have to sprinkle in that whoever your favorite comic book artist is, because that's kind of how you're getting it out. And that's like this holy trinity of influence that you are now inspiring other people to pursue. You know, find those, oh, yeah, influences in your life and put them together, and it becomes this unique product in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's very cool, man.
Take the bits and pieces of what inspires you, or the creators, or even your mom and dad. Take the good. Take all the bits and pieces of good and implement it in your own life. Like Steve Jobs. I mean, he sat there and branded himself. He wore, right, the same thing. Black turtleneck, long sleeve, and jeans, and... Yeah, he branded himself, and I ended up doing the same thing.
Sure.
I've got the red hat. I've got the white shirt with the black tie. You know.
Just like your character.
And just like my character, Shawnee Pooh. And that's what he wears. And you know, just take the bits and pieces that are good, that are grand, and just implement it into your daily lives.
That's
awesome. You're
going to
see change.
Very cool. So, again, this is happening at Drawn to Comics in downtown Glendale, Arizona. It's starting June 30th. Until July 21st. Those are Saturdays?
Yes.
So it's every Saturday from the end of June to July, from noon to 1 p.m. For kids ages 7 to 11 years old. It's a four-week course. Only $40, which breaks down to 10 bucks per class. That's what you're paying for any other kind of daycare after-school situation. So in this case, there is a purpose. There is a focus. It's targeting kids that are especially into art and comics. And it's by one of the Valley's leading webcomic artists. So you're going to get quality.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time. So,
Yeah, for signups, you can always stop at Drawn to Comics in downtown Glendale. I mean, definitely. Stop by Drawn to Comics, you know, while you're in, down here, pick up a few books and then get your child registered for this class. It's going to be fun. Or if you want to do it online, you can go to seansauter.com/student-register and you can register that way as well. But it's going to be all around fun. And I'm super excited. I want to bring the same feelings that I had when I was a child, when Wallace and Ladmo were around.
Yeah.
And I appreciate them. I know I'm young. People look at me like, you don't remember Wallace and Ladmo. Yes, I did.
You don't know Wallace and Ladmo.
Yeah.
And do you? We all have, like, memories that are, like, different memories from our childhood that just made impacts on us. I mean, ditto. Wallace and Ladmo, they were awesome. Gerald. Pat McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
Pat McMahon. I mean, Pat McMahon is still in this community. Yeah. And, you know, how fun would it be to let him know that you're thinking about doing something like this, too? Or that you're
in
doing
the spirit
this.
Of that, sure.
Yeah.
But look at the change that they had did.
Yeah, they made that impact on you. Which was
not just on me, but on the community. Yeah. Sure. They did so much. They weren't in New York. I think they were kind of syndicated.
They were.
They had opportunities studios, to go nationwide, right? But it was very local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Channel 5 Studios, right? Yep.
That's what I want. If I can't change the world, let me change my backyard. Sure. Let me help clean up.
Right. That's awesome, man.
Yes. Yeah. Super excited. I said too. It's unbelievable to see this type of support in the community for our industry and the care for people that are the future of the industry.
Yeah.
And it's a. I don't know, it makes me speechless. I kind of like it. Exactly, yeah. Sean hits it so perfectly. There's not a whole lot extra to say about how, you know, to have someone this committed in the community. I mean, you do it too as well. I mean, everything you do every week, like I know you're always working on comics. You're always
doing something. I wouldn't say it's always with a selfless mission like Sean's doing with this class, but like what I'm doing in your window next weekend.
Yes.
It's pretty, pretty shamelessly selfish. So, it's pure self-indulgence.
And with that selfishness, you're getting something out for people to enjoy.
Well, that's true. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So, yeah, talk about Drawn to Comics as a hub of awesome activities and comic culture in the Valley. I'm doing it's my fourth annual 24-hour comic challenge, my third annual attempt in your storefront window. The first year I did it at CMOD, which is a modern furniture store in the Melrose District of downtown Phoenix. I drew in their window. That was awesome. And then I asked you if I could do it here the following year, and it was just such a good fit. We've been doing it ever since. So this is going to be my third year here in the window from 1 p.m. to 1 p.m., June 23rd to 24th. So it's the weekend of the 24th. It's 24 hours from the 23rd to the 24th. I'm drawing a page an hour, basically. And when the 24 hours is up, I have a comic book done.
Yes.
So this is something folks do and have been doing since the mid-90s. Scott McCloud, the guy that self-published Zot, and he also wrote Understanding Comics and all of the sequels to that book. So he's a pretty well-respected artist and kind of philosopher about the ability of comics and the technique of comics. He created this challenge where he and a buddy attempted to create a 24-page comic in 24 consecutive hours. When I found out about that, I was like, I don't know if I could ever do something like that. But if I was doing it in public, there would be the accountability of people watching me and saying, you know what, man, you keep going, keep going. And it becomes kind of a live art exhibit as well, kind of a performance piece at that point as well. So people could come and literally see my body degrading over the course of 24 hours.
We do podcasts in there. We bring you pizza sometimes.
Oh, yeah. It gets hot in there. I mean, it's basically a glass cage.
We try to bring bread and water to kind of make it more dramatic this year for you.
Last year was actually crazy.
Like the bunny dropper.
Oh, yeah. Just a little like... Last year was crazy because, like, you were bringing in pizza, you brought in ice cream,
donuts,
of course, water and donuts. So, I'm so grateful, but at the same time, you couldn't have brought in messier food. I'm drawing and, like, licking an ice cream cone and just, I don't want to get a drop on the page. Greasy pizza from down the street, delicious. It's like, oh, my God. You're bringing in the pizza man into the window. Hey, Ken, it's the pizza man. I'm like, I'm trying to draw for crying out loud.
So when you bring in pizza man.
But it was fun. It becomes a whole thing, which was the point of doing it In public. A friend of mine and I did try it once a long time ago in California, over 10 years ago, 20 years ago now maybe. And we failed terribly because we started at night. So we'd been up all day, then we started it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to wake up and do it like you're clocking into work and then just power through like it's an all-nighter for school or something. So, yeah, I've kind of developed this technique and I've successfully accomplished it every time. They're not always books I'm proud of, but at the end of the day, there is something there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We'll do it next week. We will do the hourly sponsorships like we did one year as well, so folks can come in and sponsor a page, and we will donate that money to a local charity. I'm still deciding which, although I think I'm narrowing it down to one that may also bring some volunteers by to help sell books, too.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I'll talk to, I don't want to say anything in case it doesn't work out, but I'll talk to them this week, and we'll promote that on Facebook.
Because I did notice Janimal was contacting me about wanting to come down this month.
Yeah, so he's going to pop in the Sunday as I'm wrapping up.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of cool activity happening here in your shop that weekend.
That'll be cool, dude.
So, yeah, it's going to be great. That's Drawn to Comics. Again, Drawn to Comics in downtown Glendale. A lot of stuff going on. So next weekend's my thing. The following weekend, Sean's class starts. Man, you got a busy program slate here. Yeah.
No, July, too.
Oh, yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con's coming up next month, too, as well.
Are you going? You going to San Diego?
Sneaking away to San Diego.
Oh, my goodness.
You got any room in your carry-on to squeeze in? 5 foot 6 redhead?
If you want to. Throw it in the back of the car. We'll sneak you in. That'd be awesome.
Or a 6'2" Shawnee Poo.
I mean, we'll get everybody in. It's like that, eh?
So are you going into the convention?
Yeah.
You got a
Diamond
pro pass?
Offered like one pro pass for us. They gave us an option to get a second one. It was $276.
Oh,
and so Susan said, you know what? You go. And so, like, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Waylon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Waylon is he's hooking up the room, so I'll be splitting the price with the room with them.
Oh, nice.
Waylon's so awesome. Yeah. You're awesome, man, if you're listening.
Another person that we know locally going to, Cody, he does a podcast too as well. It Comes Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He's going with us too as well. He's got a ticket too. So it'll be if you guys, if you have a ticket, let's make it the more the merrier, dude.
So are you going all 4 days?
Yeah.
All 5 days?
Yeah, it's like that'd be kind of crazy.
So are you looking at the programs now and figuring out what your schedule is going
to
be like?
I need to. I haven't had time to even think about that aspect of it. I just found out, okay, am I going to do this or not? So
right.
If you want to, if you want to go make this work, you can go ahead and make it work.
You know, I got to tell you, the first con I ever went to was San Diego 2000.
Yes.
Summer of 2000. My buddy called me on Saturday morning and he said, you want to go down to Comic-Con today? I said, sure. I lived in Orange County near Disneyland. So we hopped in the car, we drove down, walked up to the ticket counter, bought a ticket, walked right in.
Wow, see, that's how it used to be.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
that was
like,
only
like 2006, 2005 was when that stopped,
seemed
like.
That was my same story in 2003 or 2004. I knew that San Diego was coming up.
Yes.
And I was thinking about it. You know, I live here in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's not that far.
I talked about it with my friend, and we were kind of hemming and hawing, and then the Friday of the weekend of Comic-Con, San Diego, I called up my buddy, let's go. It's 6 o'clock at night, let's start driving. So we drove to San Diego, drove to the beach, slept for a few hours, then got up at 6 a.m. and headed over to the convention center, and we were able to buy a pass.
Right in.
I wish it was like that again.
Those days are over.
Yeah, it's
very, unfortunately, for better or worse. But that's cool, man. Yeah, and I had a conversation with Jeff Loeb. I talked to Greg Rucka. It was just a really memorable day. And then we drove home that night, and just for an hour and a half in the car.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. Those were just names on paper to me until now. Now I know what Jeff Loeb looks like. You know, 2002, I'm not, like, surfing the internet every day like people do now.
Yeah, it wasn't even, like, the thing back then really too much. A little bit, but not as much as now. Like, everything comic-related is, like, you know, not only just on, you know, comics heating up or... it's Newsarama or anything like that type of thing. It's on Yahoo.
Sure.
Like that. Yahoo, you know, news will have something to do with comic book movies
something.
The fact of like, oh man, Bendis going to DC was a Yahoo story.
Right. And they put his picture in the story.
10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's like, oh, okay, who's this Bendis guy?
Right.
And to us, like, he's got the Ultimate Spider-Man and blah, blah, blah. That's on the inside. But Yahoo's, Ultimate Spider-Man, what's the difference?
So who's left for you to meet? I know you've met Stan Lee.
Yes.
Mike Zeck. That's just in the time I've known you. That's just this past year.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Yes, dude.
I know you've met a lot of your comic book heroes and stuff like that.
I still need to meet Jason Aaron. I'd love to meet Jason Aaron. He's like a incredibly awesome writer right now. I mean, he started the new Thor again. He's been, I think this is his fourth volume or third volume of Thor he just started this past week. And it's just each time, it's more and more fun.
Very cool.
Another person, I wouldn't mind meeting Donny Cates, because he's doing the new Venom series right now, too. And just he kind of made me like Venom for the first time, other than it just being the nemesis of Spider-Man. And I know that sounds like blasphemy. You don't like Venom, what's your problem, dude? That's like, well, it's kind of like, you know, as I said, too, there's points where Spider-Man wore the costume as his own black suit before it became Venom. And you guys all heard that story before. That's the passion, the butterfly effect of drawn comics in general.
Yeah.
Was if I never saw that black suit, there would be no drawn comics. There'd be other great shops you guys would be doing podcasts with besides mine.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just teasing you guys.
It was straight into funny books, I think, would be the Earth 2 equivalent of drawn comics.
Exactly. But it's just like that. I have a lot of like pride in the black suit being the way that was the road for this whole thing to happen today was me being interested in a black and white Spider-Man suit that was created by Mike Zeck and many other people, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I said too, is like that it's been a wonderful ride just picking up a comic at 7-Eleven because Peter Parker's being torn in half. But Donny Cates adding more to the symbiote rather than to Venom was to me like, oh wow, you're adding depth to what I got interested in as a kid.
Yeah, very cool.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm pretty excited to talk to him and say, hey dude, thanks for bringing more of the character of the black suit into the story, not Eddie Brock. Mm-hmm. Even though Eddie Brock is still the main character that's Venom, there's other suits, and Peter Parker wasn't the first person to bring a black suit to Earth.
Oh, interesting.
And that was kind of a cool concept that I could get on board with.
Yeah,
that is cool.
So they're making the black suit.
I didn't know that.
More of the culture, like Clintar, the aliens have been on Earth for hundreds of years.
What are they called?
Clintar.
Clintar.
Yeah, Klyntar. That's a Mr. Bendis idea. He came up with actually giving the name of the species.
Well, sounds like a Star Trek movie.
During Guardians of the Galaxy, when Venom was in Guardians of the Galaxy, Flash Thompson Venom.
Venom or whatever.
Venom started more or less getting poisoned, I guess you would say. I hate using the word poison because that's a new character base in the suit's storylines right now. But
is it poison with a Y?
No.
Oh, okay.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
Some 90s poison spell. P-O-I-Z-O-N with a line over that last O.
he was too mentally sick and too separated from his original species design.
Oh.
And so he kind of took over Flash and more or less said, like, I need to get home.
Yeah.
And so I could get cleansed.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
and so he went back to his home planet and took the Guardians of the Galaxy with him to be cleansed. And he got to see the whole purpose. Then just gave the suit a purpose rather than just being a symbiote trying
That's
to suck
cool.
off of something.
So and are these creators going to be at Comic-Con? Or
I hope so. That's why I got to find out, dude. Usually they show up out of nowhere. I mean, I love seeing Scott Snyder every time that he's there. He's always a fun bucket list person to talk to. Especially with him doing Justice League now.
Right.
And moving up from like just doing American Vampire at DC to doing obviously Batman and all Detective Comics, Batman, Dark Knight's Metal, and now he's at the penultimate level of DC. I mean,
Absolutely.
We're talking about Bendis being given Superman. They gave Scott Snyder the whole freaking Justice League.
Sure.
And write all these characters and give them each a voice. And, you know, make it as awesome as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's going to be really exciting to talk to Scott Snyder about how he likes writing a diverse group of characters rather than just like one character that he's been always doing at a time.
Let me ask you something as a retailer and Sean as an artist. What is the, you know, because we're going into con season. We just finished Phoenix Comic Fest here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to San Diego now in a month. San Diego is especially known for Hall H and sneak previews of upcoming movies and seeing big panels of celebrities and stuff like that. But I'll tell you that you'll see it live. I can watch it on YouTube about 5 minutes after you see it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They'll drop that Aquaman trailer probably a few weeks before San Diego Comic-Con, from what I understand on the internet right now. So that could have been a big reveal that's now just going to get thrown up online because of the demand for it.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of Comic-Con, then? I mean, just when we strip away all the talk of how it used to be and whatnot, like, nowadays, the big reveals are available online pretty immediately.
Yeah, there's no waiting period anymore.
Yeah, there is an anticipation or exclusivity.
Do
you know what I mean?
Do you feel the internet has kind of ruined the impact of the event?
Well, I think at first it's strengthened the event because you see the energy. Like, if I'm watching the Avengers cast gather on stage for the first time, their first public appearance from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you want to be in that room. You want to feel that energy. But if you just want the information, watching it is no different than being there.
Yeah.
You know, watching it online on your phone is no different. So, like, is that the purpose, then? Is that energy, that communal feel, almost the spiritualism of these are all people that like things I like, and we're not all together like this, but once a year? Is that what...
That's what it should be. Do you mean? I really do feel that's what it should be.
Yeah.
As I said, too, is like that I do feel that I used to have more fun with it 10 years ago. And I hate saying this because I haven't been to San Diego Comic-Con in a few years. And just because it's like that, we did it so many times. It used to go, like, for a point, it was like every year.
Sure.
And then it went to every other year.
Yeah.
And now it's like every 2 to 3 years. Because, first of all, it gets more and more expensive every time you go.
Right.
I mean, San Diego's embraced this culture just as much as the fans have. And unfortunately, with embracing it, they realize there's a ton of money coming into their community.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so everything kind of doubles, triples in price on menus, in hotel rooms. It's
parking spaces.
Parking spaces.
Oh, God.
It's become fun still, but at the same time, that price has doubled and tripled from the first year I went.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
It's definitely less of that whimsical, like Sean said, just hop in the car and go.
Yeah.
Now it's like you got a budget for the whole year just to go to Comic-Con.
It's almost like trying to get Super Bowl tickets now.
Right.
Do you mean? I hate saying it. I mean, because Super Bowl is like an extreme thing that many people can't even touch at all.
Right.
But I can't touch ever trying to get to a Super Bowl. Do you mean? I mean, the ticket itself is like $1,500.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Just to go to the Super Bowl. And not just, you know, getting into the stadium. I mean,
right.
If you want front row seats, you're probably looking close to six figures. You got to own a business or something.
Sure.
Or you're high up in a business and you're the top salesperson at that business type of thing. I can't even imagine how much a suite would cost during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And is that what San Diego Comic-Con starting to head towards? And is it there something that, like, is it becoming too elitist? And you don't want that to happen too much because then it's all about Hollywood than it is more about the fans.
Right. If the emphasis is the intimacy between creator and consumer, then you definitely want to make sure new people can go. In other words, like if somebody just discovered comics, let's say they went to Infinity War, and that was the moment they were like, I got to read these books. This is incredible.
Yes.
10 years of these movies, I got to dig in. So they come to your shop, they start buying books, they hear about this Mecca, San Diego Comic-Con, where the actors are, and the artists that draw the books they just started buying are, like, everything's there, I gotta go. You go online, it's been sold out for 2 months.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
It's unapproachable.
Yeah.
And you don't want to become unapproachable in any way. I mean, it's when you're in there, it's amazing. It's like, as I said, too, it's like, oh my gosh, dude, it's... You see anything you want to see. If you want to see comics, you can see comics. If you want to see creators, you can see creators. If you want to meet actors, you can wait in line to meet actors.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? If you want to see the new Funko Pop exclusives, you can get a ticket to get it. But it's, I said too, that's the key word is you have to sometimes find tickets to get opportunities to go see the stuff you want to see at San Diego Comic-Con. And is there like an oversaturation point that it's hitting? I don't know. I hope not. Obviously there isn't because there's still those waiting lines, there's still those tickets, there's still those things that are out there to try to appease the people that are going, and it's international, obviously, because it's not just hitting San Diego. San Diego's a beautiful place to stop and stay. You make it a vacation, you make it part of your life plans if you're in Australia.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or Germany. I mean, it's you talk to people or you see those once again, those internet podcasts or internet movies or videos, I apologize, dude, where I'm getting so, like, passionate about it right now, forgetting my own words, but where it's like that people come from all around the world to show their, you know, the portfolios of their comics that they've created. The fact they want to meet, you know, Donnie Cates and they live in Germany, as you say, or they want to see Chris Evans because, you know, kind of like what Ace hit on a little bit earlier this year.
Ace
was
fanfare,
a much more ground level version of what San Diego does.
Sure.
And everyone says, oh, it's just a money grab. I go, no, it's not a money grab. People want to see these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I said, too, I couldn't believe, like, when they're doing the costume contest at the Ace Comic Con, there are people coming from Australia for that.
Wow.
And that's what made me say, like, if they're coming from Australia to come to this show, they're definitely coming from Australia to go to San Diego
Comic-Con. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is probably, like you said, San Diego International Comic Con.
Yes.
So, and they've added that global element to this that makes it so much more covetous to attend.
A way to kind of, I think, make it more approachable since it is international. Imagine if they did the company, like, you know, not San Diego, I guess you could have to keep it San Diego Comic Con, but as the name on it, but say it's Comic Con International England.
Oh, so you're saying go overseas and go to where these people are. Yeah, there you go.
And then that way you're reaching out to those different audiences. And so when it is back in San Diego, they know they can go to the one in Australia.
Right.
And it's the exact same experience.
Yeah.
And then that way it kind of opens up more room for people that are stateside to get a chance to go to the convention again.
So, yeah, go ahead.
That's actually brilliant.
Yeah, I was going to say, Comic-Con's become less of, it's almost like Wakanda, or, not Wakanda, Asgard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a place. Oh, yeah. It's wherever the people are.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can bring those people anywhere.
Yeah, if the Comic-Con of that caliber traveled, people would go.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to take geography into consideration and time of year and something like that. If San Diego Comic-Con, for example, decided to set up shop here in Phoenix in August, I don't think you'd see 500,000 people or whatever they're bringing in just because of the heat. But at the same time, Phoenix Comic Fest has managed to bring in tens of thousands of people.
Yes.
Memorial Day weekend every year for the last 10-plus years.
They got eventually, the one year, they got over 100,000, didn't they?
Yes. I don't know, but
that was a few years back.
Just the fact that we could reasonably speculate that is amazing, considering, again, it was probably 110 that weekend.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And people willingly dressed up, went downtown, hung out in and around the convention center, because it just draws you. You just want to be among your people. You know what I mean?
And, like, and the energy.
The energy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, when I take the light rail into Comic-Con and I'm sitting between, you know, Goku and Superman, or I look in the other car and there's like a whole Green Lantern squad over there, or a Stormtrooper battalion over there.
Predator clan.
Yeah, right. It's like, this is almost like I'm on like the hyper train to the multiverse. Yes. You know?
It's like Ready Player One in a way, if that makes any sense.
Yes, totally.
That's absolutely what it's like. Yeah.
And the fact things are happening.
Yeah, we've been able to manifest a lot of our dreams and fantasies from these stories into reality at Comic-Con. I think that just has a magnetism to us that is transcendent of where, and again, for a lot of people, cost.
Yes.
You know, there are people that will pay whatever it takes to be there, to have a nice room while they're staying there, and to make sure their car's parked close.
They make it their vacation.
That
is their vacation.
Right.
It's just like, but it's an amazing. You know, it's a conundrum you can't explain completely.
Yeah, conundrum.
Yeah, conundrum. Exactly. Dude.
Putting the con in conundrum.
Conundrum. You're right. But that is something like, think that would be, you know, if you wish, it's kind of like I said too, same thing with Ace. It's like that everybody wished they could have gone. But as I said too, some things, you know, you have to choose, pick and choose your battles. Like, I would love to have all three of us go and, you know, all like get a whole freaking bus to go down. That would be freaking awesome to get everybody to go down to San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, a lot of people want to go.
Yeah.
And that's like that, where it's a supply and demand.
You know what I've learned to do too is, and this might just be getting a little weird and kind of almost hypersensitive about it or whatever, but the con experience to me has become so, pardon the pun here, concentrated.
Yes.
That, you know, you have to, I know. Allow me the concession of making these con terms. Hey, but
it's a convoluted thing now.
Thank you very much.
And it's causing constipation.
I mean, the nachos alone.
Exactly.
But
I'm sorry.
There's nothing contemporary about it.
Oh,
sorry.
So what I was gonna say was, like, I try to find ways throughout the year, and that's part of the 24-hour comic challenge, and the various strange things I do throughout the year that are like, what? You try to recreate that experience in a local way.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to attract 50,000 people, but if I can get 50 people, and if some of my friends swing by, and we shoot the breeze about what we're working on, and the comics we love, and the movies we saw, and stuff like that, if I can keep a bubble of con energy around me periodically throughout the year, it fuels and inspires and encourages me to keep this stuff up.
Yes.
And that's part of hanging out with you, Ken. That's part of getting to know fellow artists like Sean. You know, last night I was hanging out with Birdie and Coop, two guys that make comics just like I do. And there was just that spirit of, this dinner could have been after any day at con, just as it's, you know, on a regular day tonight. You know, and it's that sense of, you're surrounded by positive people with that mutually creative energy, and it keeps you going.
You hit on something right on the head there. You know? Can take that con magic in other experiences around the community, whether there's a con or not. That is something that everybody can get involved with.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And that way nobody's missing out on anything like that. Because that's true. You hit on it. Like, I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned that again. It's like that. Every time I come out of convention, oh my gosh, dude, you're on this like sky-high rush of how awesome the comic industry is.
Right.
And how awesome all these experiences you had with her. It's almost like family reunions.
Right.
Yeah. As I said too, it's like, oh my gosh, like at Christmas time, it's like, oh man, it's like that, we need to get together more often.
Yep.
And how can you say that to your own family?
Yeah. And how many people at con do you see and it's like, let's get a coffee, let's get a beer, let's have lunch, I'll see you in a month, let's do this. Doesn't happen, and then the next con you end up doing it again and again.
And that's what I love about you guys, is like appreciate what we do here so much, is like that we kind of have those similar type of things in a way, like that where it's that community is always available for us.
Right. Community?
Yeah.
Can we say the community? I don't know. We just make up a word.
Donald Glover's got this one for us, right? Community, right?
Cool, man.
That's something like that's an amazing thing, like having comic shops in your community do. And not just here, but like any comic shop in any community is like that you have that place where you can bond and share that experience of what you love about this industry on an everyday experience, on an everyday, I guess, any time you want to walk into a comic shop, as long as they're open and you're not breaking down the glass to get in, it's like, hey, let's talk.
Right. You know, I used to deny myself that opportunity, too. I used to go into a comic book store when I was in my 20s. I lived in California, and I had a comic shop I would go to, and it's out of business now, and I would go in there, and, you know, if the owner started talking to me, I'd be like, leave me alone. Let me just shop. Don't recommend this stuff. I know what I like. I'm just going to buy it and go. If I saw somebody else picking something up I liked, you know, I wouldn't think to engage them in small talk about it. It was a much more personal experience at the time.
Yes.
You know, just going into my shop, give me my books out of my box, let me see what's on the new release rack, and I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Maybe on a rare Saturday afternoon, I'd go there and flip through the back issue bins, but it was pretty much just like a Wednesday night run. So, now I've kind of grown out of that shell and realized that coming into a comic book store can be a much more immersive experience. You know what I mean? Like, I really try not to just run in. I try to make it a personal event. So I'm going to flip through your dollar boxes. I'm going to talk to people if I see them. If they look vaguely familiar, do I know you from somewhere? You know, I look at the toys. Even if I'm not shopping for toys, I look at the toys and just try to take it all in because it has those shades of walking down aisles at Comic-Con.
That's what some of my favorite memories as a kid was hanging out with my best friend, Jack. And, you know, like that he was the first friend that would actually go hang out at the comic shop with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, too, it's like I brought my comic shop, he brought me to his comic shop. We'd go Toys R Us's, Lionel Play Worlds, and we just like, raise holy heck.
Right. And you know what's so... Oh, go ahead.
I remember like Lionel Play World closing. That was sad because I mean, Lionel Play World, like what Toys R Us is going through right now. This is like deja vu.
Yeah.
Because we were like in high school at the time at when Lionel Play World was closing down. And Lionel Play World, I don't know if you guys ever heard of Lionel Trains.
Of course.
They actually had like their own Toys R Us for a while.
Yeah.
That was one of the most amazing toy mechas that you could think of. How Toys R Us was, I mean, they were just the same, if not a little bit, in my opinion, better than Toys R Us was.
Right.
But we remember, like, those last few days, we'd get a football from the Nerf section, we'd throw it over the aisles at each other to try to play catch, and it was just, like, nobody cared because they were done. It was sad in a way.
Yeah.
But those were, like, memories that we kind of, like, made as, like, that. We had fun in this store.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, that we were there, oh, cool, starting lineups. I don't know if anybody remembers starting lineups or not, too, but starting lineups. Remember having the end caps of, like, every single starting lineup you could think of, and we'd be surfing through, just kind of having fun, and, you know, going to the old Toys R Us's too, speaking of Toys R Us too, like when the new Star Wars figures would come out, we'd hang out together and, okay, dude, you know what? You hit the Star Wars, I hit the G.I. Joe.
Right.
You know,
right.
Type of thing too. It's like that. We knew shipment days and it was a fun way of bonding, and comic shops are that same type of thing too as well.
You know,
like
we started the Lionel Toy Stores too. Lionel Richie. A lot of people don't know. No, he didn't do that.
No, wow.
Did he?
I thought it was Lionel Trains. Lionel Richie, dude. Yeah, but like FBO Shorts, same thing, too. Go in FBO Shorts, push that stupid button on the tree and have the fake tree talk to you.
Sure.
That type of thing, too.
Yeah.
It was just the Warner Brothers stores. Like, these stores are part of culture.
Yeah, man.
And it's hard to see them go. So, with the stronger we can keep comic shops on a brick-and-mortar level, I think those memories will keep on being made for future generations.
Absolutely. I remember a Jim Lee appearance at a Warner Brothers store in Brea, California.
Yes.
They were passing out little postcards, and it had, you know, a Batman, Superman, Jim Lee drawing. I was like, what the heck is this? And you flip it over, and it's like, he's going to be in this store?
Yeah.
You know, in this mall? That's and it was like, whoa, you know? Yeah. So,
it's like
yeah.
having Kevin Smith walk into a mall type of thing.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Jim Lee's like our Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
To the, you know, to the comic community. I mean, Kevin Smith's Kevin Smith to our comic community,
too. I was going
to
say, yeah.
yeah.
But I guess Jim Lee's more or less, I guess you could say, kind of like, you know, Tom Cruise walking into, right. You know, someone that's like, whoa, I'm at, you know... I'm at the movie theater, and Tom Cruise is coming into this movie theater right. to sit here and watch the movie with us.
I'm in the presence of greatness here. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of brings it full circle to what you were talking about, Sean, that getting kids off the devices and into an environment where you're actually sitting across from other kids, other people, you're talking to people out loud, in person. I mean, it sounds so simple, but it's becoming a fading commodity. Yeah, you know,
you're making connections with people.
Yeah, and it's just
the ability to connect with people.
That's been kind of the through line of what we've been talking about here this whole time, is the idea of keeping that interpersonal interaction a priority in your fandom.
Yes.
Because that's what makes it a dumb, a more than people, you know, like a kingdom, a mm-hmm. fandom. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And without that group of people, you know, the stuff you love may go away. It wouldn't have the support. To mm-hmm. keep it viable, keep it alive, you know what I mean? So, interesting. That was kind of the theme without even
yeah, it's like that
intending it to be.
Connection and community with something we all love,
right.
which is the comic industry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, too, it was like that. I tell people all the time, they become friends over the years. I hope I think I've told you guys, too, without this store, dude, I would have never met you guys. Maybe, but not make the connections.
Yeah.
That we're
yeah.
doing now.
Damn of course,
like,
it wouldn't be as meaningful.
Like, bet you, like, in other places, at, like, the conventions, obviously, and mm-hmm. but it's just like that. I feel like that without that community at all, you can't meet the people that have become special parts of your life.
Right.
Yeah.
And who would have guessed? Do you know what I mean? Like, that dude, like, literally, I mean, I didn't think back then, like, picking up a Spider-Man comic would make this kind of relationships with people. Mm-hmm. It was just
sure.
something that loved, and then other people loved that similar thing. So I guess you have to go back to, you know, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, you know, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster,
sure.
Bob Kane and Bill Finger. the people that kind of, like, you know, they bonded. If you think about it, there was always two people. It wasn't just one person
Ooh.
Creating.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it takes two people making that relationship bond that's blown up the comic industry as a whole.
One of Grant Morrison's best
Even Tom
statements.
McFarlane and Rob Liefeld saying, let's do this together, do something bigger
right.
and different. Even though they created their own characters that have nothing to do with each other on their own characters.
Yeah.
But they still bonded together and say, let's bring other people. So let's make it the ultimate family.
Well, you've seen the Image documentary where it starts with, was it Rob and Todd? And then they're in New York and he bumps into Wills in a hotel
yeah.
and he's
yeah.
like, you're coming with... Let's get Jim Lee, and now we got Jim Lee.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then I love the part where, like, they go to Marvel, they leave, and they're like, let's go tell DC, too. And they go to DC. And they're like, what are you doing? Are you guys going to work for us? No, we're here to tell you we're never going to work for you.
Yeah.
Like, what? This would be like me going into a McDonald's and being like, I just want everybody to know I'm never going to work here. Okay.
Okay, thanks for coming. Would you like to order anything?
No.
No.
Okay,
no,
well, maybe.
But you know what? Maybe. But no, I was going to say that one of Grant Morrison's great revelations about Batman is the first thing Bruce Wayne does after that bat crashes in through... If you read Year One as canon, which I do,
yes.
the bat crashes through the window, Batman is essentially born. What's the first thing you do? He reaches for the bell and rings for Alfred's help.
Yeah.
So the first act of Batman is to ask for help.
Yes.
To get a partner involved so you're not bearing that burden alone. And that's what you're
phrase.
Describing these creators, these guys that needed to be saved,
yep.
created superheroes.
That's
they were doing it in tandem with one another. So.
And it not only saved them, it saved multiple generations from actually just kind of thinking, like, let's bond on something we all love together. And
good Lord, what a great thematic podcast we just had. Everything tied together so beautifully.
That was amazing.
And it's so cool how all of us getting inspired off of one another, how it... I mean, we feed
it's
off
contagious.
Of one another. I mean, you
yes.
created
contagious.
Your store
yes.
because of
exactly.
The black costume of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And in 2005, I came to Drawn to Comics on their first day, free comic book day, and I met
wow.
Ken Brown.
That's
and,
crazy.
And
yeah.
Ken Brown is one of the important figures that have pushed me into the direction of where I've been going. And, I mean, I thank you for it. I thank you. And it's not just you. It's a lot of people that have had a finger on
woo, this is where I am right now. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's like it starts a tree. I mean, I'm a big fan of the NFL. I used to love coaching trees. You know, like Bill Parcells started the coaching tree of, like, Bill Belichick. And then, you know, Bill Belichick started the coaching tree of, like, Matt Patricia, who's now the Lions coach. And just all different people kind of funnel down into greatness of the same interest level, the same things.
Very cool.
And it's just, like, I'm honored to be, you know, on a, someone's tree. You know what I mean? Nice. It's like that, be part of someone's tree.
Yes. Well, we're almost an hour here, so let's start to descend here. I'll plug my stuff, and we'll just go around. Everybody plug where we could be found online. You can find me on Instagram at AmazingAZComics and online at AmazingArizonaComics.com, and that's where I'll post some information soon about the 24-hour challenge coming up next weekend. So as you hear this during the week, swing by Drawn to Comics next Saturday and see me drawing in the window.
It's always a fun time, you guys. You guys got to come down. Definitely is a choice.
Yeah, and you can find me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. My main website is seansautter.com. I'll spell that for you. That's SEANSAUTTER.com. And also my webcomic, Shawnee Pooh. You can see Shawnee Pooh. You can see my webcomic at ShawneePooh.com. I'll spell that one too. SEANYPOO.com. And I've also started doing Shawnee Pooh Tube on YouTube.
Oh, cool. Nice.
And so instead, I'm trying to get it more interactive. Like, there's some people that, you know, they consume content on Instagram. They consume the stuff on Facebook. Some only go to YouTube. And it's just another way of, hey, maybe Shawnee Pooh will, you know, make an impact on their life, a better impact, you know, this way. And so, yeah, I'm trying to take the images panel per panel and actually make some movement.
Nice. Yes.
The voiceovers and stuff, too?
Do what?
Doing voiceovers and everything?
The first episode, I didn't. The second episode, yes, I did voiceovers for. And it actually, it's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. The whole goal would be to get it out every week, but... with how life is sometimes, we all get, you know.
You need a production team pretty soon.
I think so, man. That'd be awesome. But, yeah, that's where you can find me. Well, and
I think Russ does production, too, don't you, Russ?
A little bit, yeah. My brother helps a great deal with that stuff, so. Yeah. I draw the pictures, he makes the move. But, nice. Yeah. Cool, man. But Ken?
That. Well, you guys, you know me.
Oh, God.
You know me.
Okay. Well, I'm... No, I'm kidding. Well, yes, Ken Brown, you know, the owner of Drawn to Comics, and actually, you guys are the owners of Drawn to Comics, because without the community, there is no us. I still believe that to this day, and never, ever, ever want to take that for granted, and that's why I'm still a little bit humble about all this, too.
So you're saying we're responsible for Drawn to Comics being TravelandLeisure.com's fifth most desirable shop to visit in the country.
Without you guys' inspiration, we can't do it.
Yeah. That's like bringing that up every time I mention it. TravelandLeisure.com's fifth most desirable comic book store to visit.
There's no comic shop biasness in that either, because that's not done by the comic industry. That's done by... You know, like people that like to travel.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
So that's pretty awesome stuff. And we got our daughter, Michaela, here with us. She's doing our laugh track in the background. It's awesome. I feel like I'm on an episode of Gomer Pyle when I have Kayla in the room.
What?
She's like, who's Gomer Pyle?
or Family Ties with the canned laughter. So this is not canned. This is real live laughter taking place on our podcast here. When we don't have our laugh track. it's actually us and our fake laughs or real laughs or all kinds of laughs.
When we say something shocking, you're pressing your ooh.
The big reveal.
So DrawnToComics.com. That's where people get
DrawnToComics.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at 58th Avenue in Glendale.
Very cool.
So we got a great staff, too, as well, so definitely come down and say hi to Jason, Robert, Susan, Michaela, I mean, Dustin, Chris, and AC. You guys like that? We got a great community.
Just turned into Romper Room at the end. And Miss Molly looking through your magic mirror.
Ashley.
Oh, yes, and Ashley, too,
she's
as well.
Just,
oh, yeah.
Yes, she's on a temporary leave of absence, but she will be back.
She's on your JLA reserve membership.
Yes. Right? Yes, okay. Dude, it's unbelievable. Yes, Miss Mall. Don't ever forget Miss Mall. She is awesome, dude. But yeah, but literally, I just want to make sure that everybody gets credit for what they do, because it's not just me and Susan anymore. It's Alyssa too. It's the staff that they make me honored to come in and know like that. Okay, on Saturday and Sunday, I cannot be here. Know that they're making this boat go the same way that we'd envision it to go.
That's awesome.
I'm hearing it from my customers. It's like, yeah, dude, your staff's really good. And that means a lot to me to hear that.
Very cool. Very cool.
Because they have high expectations, because we, you know, we love this community and we don't want it to ever be taken for granted.
Nice.
They haven't let me down yet, and I don't think they ever will.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Famous last words. But okay.
Well, I just started a bad road to go down. I'm sorry. San Diego Comic Con, I come back, and the place is in flames.
I'm just kidding. They just call that a reboot. That's all that is.
Yeah.
This is a new Marvel number one. No, but our staff is.
I know. How long you guys have been open, what now?
2005, 13 years.
13
now.
Years. I think it's about time you cycle back to a number one.
I know. It's true.
You got to just start saying you've been open 1 year.
Longest running comic thing, not going back to number one.
Oh, yeah.
I guess if we do a second location, that would have to be like volume two.
There you go. That would actually be a great if a comic book store opened a second location, you call it Drawn to Comics Reboot.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, that's a really great idea.
I was thinking about calling it Drawn to Comics Again.
Right? Still Drawn to Comics.
Still Drawn to Comics.
And then your third shop, Drawn to Comics with a Vengeance.
With a Vengeance. Return of the comic shop.
Oh, no. Drawn to Comic Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I'm Russ.
I'm Ken.
I'm Sean Sauter.
And we are Drawn to Comics. Thanks, everybody.
Get your geek on.
Thanks.